Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Concerns about quality, safety, and the rising costs in healthcare have driven the federal government and national leaders to look for solutions to the challenges facing the nation's healthcare system. Over the last several years, the recognition of the importance of health IT and health information exchange has grown significantly. While there is a broad recognition of the need for health IT to address many of these challenges, there is also a need for leadership, coordinated action, and common agreement among the many stakeholders. With us this morning to discuss his work leading the federal efforts on health information technology is Dr. Robert Kolodner, National Coordinator at the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Tom Romeo, IBM's Public Sector General Government Industry Leader. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Al.
Rob, I always like to ground our listeners with some facts around our subject area, in this case, health and human services. Could you spend a few minutes and give us a sense of the history and mission of HHS? Also, can you give us a sense of its scale, how it's organized, size of budget, and the geographic footprint?
Be glad to, Al. HHS's mission is to enhance the health and well-being of Americans by providing for effective health and human services, and also by fostering sound, sustained advances in the sciences underlying medicine, public health, and social services. The budget of HHS is over $690 billion, that's with a B, and we have about 65,000 employees in all states and territories. There's a long history going back of federal network of hospitals that eventually was organized into the public health service that was established for merchant seamen. The department was created in 1953 and at that time was called Health, Education, and Welfare, and was established to bring together numerous health agencies and activities. In 1980, education split away and the department was renamed Health and Human Services. The fundamental charge is really to administer a variety of government health-related programs which touch the lives of every American every day. So, for example, the agencies such as Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, Food and Drug Administration, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or National Institutes of Health, to name just a few.
Thanks, Rob. Now that you've provided us with a sense of the larger organization, perhaps you could tell us more about the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT and your specific responsibilities and duties as a National Coordinator for Health IT. Specifically, what's the size of your budget and how does the office support the overall mission of HHS?
Well, the position of the National Coordinator was established with an executive order in 2004 by President Bush. The National Coordinator was charged with being responsible for guiding the nationwide implementation of an interoperable health information technology infrastructure in both the public and the private sectors. The reason for this was not for technology's sake, but such an infrastructure is a necessary component in order to be able to reduce errors, improve quality, and produce greater value for healthcare expenditures. My office is charged with developing the vision for such an infrastructure and for putting together the plan to achieve the goal that President Bush charged us with of getting the majority of Americans to have health care that's enabled by electronic health records by 2014. In terms of our budget for this year, fiscal year 2008, the budget is about $60.5 million. We have about 30 employees, and then we have a number of contractors and a variety of contracts that go out into the states and communities.
Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
Tom, as you can imagine, the responsibility that we're charged with is really a very big and complex one. We're talking about having changes that are pervasive throughout the healthcare sector, which accounts for about 16% of the gross domestic product right now. That means that when we're talking about having the use of electronic health records and a network to connect them, we're trying to touch 5,000 hospitals across the nation, somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 doctor's offices, and a numerous number of pharmacies and laboratories. In addition, one of the real challenges we have in the U.S. is that half of the care in America is delivered in doctor's offices where they have four doctors or less, or four providers or less. So we're talking about very small units as opposed to large institutions. The plan is designed so that the various activities will mature, and by 2009, 2010, 2011, they'll reach a point where the physicians and practitioners and hospitals can adopt that technology, and it provides them value because of the interactive nature and being able to meet their needs and fit into their workflow. We're addressing this challenge through the variety of activities that we've undertaken. We know that such a change can't happen overnight, that this type of change tends to have a slow uptake initially and then a rapid uptake down the line, and we expect that to occur somewhere in the 2009 to 2012 timeframe. In order to address this challenge, we really have a 10-year plan for bringing it about. We know that the first few years we're laying the foundation, and that it's going to be somewhere between 2009 and 2012 where we expect to see the rapid adoption of the technology across the country, especially in what we know is the last mile of that, which is the small providers' offices and clinics across America. The second challenge is really privacy and security. We know that we must have that right to go forward. I certainly wouldn't trust putting my information on a system that I didn't think was secure, and I wouldn't want my information to be released without my permission. As we move forward, we're wanting to make sure that we have the proper infrastructure to provide that security and that we have the necessary protections for privacy. One of the challenges here is that we're serving both the healthcare needs as well as the population needs. And as you can imagine, understanding the health of a community is important so that we can detect epidemics or other health events that might be occurring in a community. And we also want to be able to measure the quality of care that's being delivered and provide that actually as information to the individuals themselves so they can use that in, you know, when they go about choosing which provider they would want to get care from. As far as that challenge goes, we're doing two things. We're working at the federal level, and we'll be putting out a framework later on this year, privacy and security framework. We also have been working with the states because a lot of the privacy activities occurs at the state level, and there's been a variation in the state laws and in how they interpret the federal laws, and by engaging individuals across the states, we are able both to learn what's going on and to help foster the state activities to address this. So the particular activity, which started a couple of years ago, has actually engaged over 4,000 individuals in 45 states and territories so far, and I look forward to continuing to have the additional states and territories get involved in that as well. The third challenge is helping each individual to understand how such an infrastructure can help them to get better quality, safer care, and that we actually believe that having such an infrastructure will allow us to transform our healthcare system to where we really do achieve the person-centered health and care that we all deserve.
Well, you certainly are taking on some of the probably the largest challenges that, that our country faces here. I want to switch gears for a moment and focus on you. I understand that you've held several positions at VA and VHA in the past. So I'm curious, how did you begin your career in medicine, and how did you get started in government?
Well, my career actually started because I had a father who was interested in technology, was a physician, but it was the technology part that he was most proud of. I either inherited it or he infected me with it, whatever it might be. So from the time that I went to college, I started playing with computers. In freshman year, I took a programming course and found one way or another to use computers through college and through medical school and through my residency. And at that point, it was really more fun and toys. But at the end of my residency, I was struck by the gap in quality of care because of the knowledge gap between what was published and what we were practicing day in and day out, and I wanted to find some way to close it. So I joined the VA after I finished my residency and started working with the technology people at that time, forming a team to say, what is it that I needed as a psychiatrist that would help me to improve the care that I could deliver to my patients?
Interesting. So as you reflect back on these experiences, I'm curious, how have these experiences prepared you for your current leadership role and perhaps shaped your current management approach and leadership style?
From the very beginning, I was aware of the limitations of the care that I could give because of information that was missing, information about the current state of the art or information about the individual themselves. And so I really worked to improve and address those problems. That experience as a frontline clinician helped to guide me and make me sensitive to the fact that technology had to fit into the practice of medicine rather than practice of medicine fitting into the mold of a certain technology. And so at this point, I'd say that we probably have our best electronic health records are probably not quite the Model T yet compared to what I hope to have in the future. But it really inspired me to want to move forward. The other impact was that as a psychiatrist, I was not trained in the psychoanalytic model, but more of a medical model, and we worked as a team. So the whole idea of working together as a team was a very important process and one that I brought into my activities with regard to technology and electronic health records. I was able to move forward in my career, move up in terms of responsibilities, and eventually in 1993, I crossed to the dark side from clinician to administrator, moved to Washington, and actually not just administrator, but crossed to be involved with the information technology.
That's great. What is interoperable health IT? We will ask Dr. Robert Kolodner, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.